Jesus Christ knew that His earthly ministry was going to be 3.5 years. Because there was a time when they were going to take Him, and He wouldn't allow them because it was not His time for them to take Him quite yet. He gave His life as a ransom for you and I. He was not taken by the force of man, but He laid His life down for you and I. All right, but 3.5 years, if someone told you tonight, if you have 3.5 years to live, it might change the way that you live. I say all that to say this: Christ knew His earthly ministry was short. But here He takes a period of time. We're not given exactly how much time, but He takes some time out of His earthly ministry just to go and minister to this one man here. Oh, in another portion of Scripture, it says that there were two demon-possessed individuals in this cemetery. But for our subject tonight, we have just the maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5. And so Christ is going to do a number of different things. And He's going to show you the value of an individual that He wants to change. He wants to change their life. And here you have a most pathetic, a most hopeless type of man. This man here is cutting himself. This man has been chained down and has broken those chains. He is naked. He is in a cemetery. Nobody can control him. Nobody wants to be around him. He is a disaster wherever he goes. And here Jesus Christ meets this man and his life is changed forever. And tonight I just want to get this one thought across to you, and that is this: that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still affecting people, and it still has a great impact on people's lives. Lest we ever forget or get comfortable with our own salvation, I want it to be awakened tonight. I want you to realize that what you have is fantastic. Your salvation is the most wonderful thing. And during the Christmas season, we are around people that find themselves hopeless. We are around people that sometimes, some of them for the first Christmas, will not spend it with mom, will not spend it with dad, are part of a broken home, or their husband went on to be with the Lord, or their wife went on to be with the Lord, or it is a time where they have absolutely nothing, they feel bad, that they can't give to their children. I'm telling you, we live in a society today that is hopeless. They are helpless without Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you tonight that with Jesus Christ, we do have great hope. We can have a great Christmas, but let's make sure that we take this opportunity and tell people about Jesus Christ. We've got 1 week left where we've got this great time where we can brag about Jesus Christ and brag about our wonderful salvation. And I want to encourage you tonight to do that, because you don't need to be a Bible college student, a graduate, you don't have to have any great training, you don't have to have all these verses memorized. Tonight, if you realize, if you have two things, you can be a tremendous witness for Jesus Christ. Look what it says here, Mark chapter number 5, and verse number 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." This area that Christ is going to is unique. He only goes here one other time. The reason being is this part of the country, there's not that many Jews. It is predominantly a Gentile area. So you're going to see a man changed, and you're going to see him go and reach his own people. So in some ways, you find a missions message right here. A missions message where God saves a man and sends him out to his own country. All right? So this is a unique area. Verse number 3, "who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. He had supernatural power, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters, And chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying," listen, "and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." Hey, let me say this here tonight. I don't know what it is about our society. There's this fascination with zombies and vampires and werewolves. People living in tombs and sucking on each other's blood and all this nastiness and nakedness. It all points this man here, this man in verse number 9, And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. He is possessed by a devil. He is possessed by devils. We know there were at least 2,000 swine that run off into the sea. So we know that perhaps there was over 2,000 demons in this man. And I don't know what all the fascination is with demon possession today in these movies, but I'll tell you what, you got to stay away from that kind of stuff. It's satanic, and as Christians, we should have nothing to do with it. According to what the Bible says, it's pointing itself to this kind of work is of the devil. Cutting and tombs and all that kind of stuff. Nakedness. Now it goes on to say here, verse number 7, and he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And I don't have time to get into why he said all that. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? He answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. They need to have a vessel of some sort. That's where they feel comfortable in possessing something. All right, a man, a woman. We have a lot of that in the Bible, but today it finds its way into a lot of other different areas that are more camouflaged. And all the devils besought... Okay, verse number 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion. Listen, here's where he's at now. After Christ is done with him, he is sitting, he is clothed, and he is in his right mind. And they were all afraid. And that's where the people today that are lost find themselves. They find themselves not at peace. According to verse number 15, sitting... And that is not the case today. People are going to and fro, and there is a bunch of movement going on, and it's just busy, 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 busy. And as Christians, we need to take time to be still and know that He is God and to meditate on the Word of God and spend some time in prayer. That is our position. But I don't know what it is. It's hard for us to do that, isn't it? It is for me. I'll just speak for myself tonight. I like to be busy. I like to be accomplishing things. And it's hard for me to take time, sit, be still and pray and get in the Word and just meditate and think about, you know, what sort of things are pure and of good report and all those different things. It's difficult to do that, but that's what we ought to be doing. And the Bible says he's clothed. So before he was naked, now he's clothed. And we, as Christians, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, and in his right mind. And what a blessing it is to have the mind of Christ. We know that our hope is not in our government or in any man or in our president or anybody apart from Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Him. And we know how this thing ends, don't we? Isn't there a peace that comes with knowing one day Christ is going to take us? If you're here and you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior. One day, Christ is going to call the bride up. What a blessing that is. I'm looking forward to it. I hope I can live long enough. Well, I'll be part of that church that's raptured out of here. Man, what a blessing that would be. And to see Jesus Christ face to face. To know I've got a home prepared beyond the skies there. A mansion, according to John 14. What a blessing. I'll get a new body. I don't have to worry about ironing clothes or washing clothes or washing my body, putting on deodorant. I don't have to worry about any of that. What a blessing. All my infirmities, I don't have to put contacts in anymore. I won't have to worry about the storms coming and feel a little bit of arthritis in my left knee. Too young for that. One day I'm going to get a new body. But see, that's the mind that we get through being saved and the revelation that Christ gives to us as Christians as we read the Bible and the Holy Spirit of God reveals those truths to us and shows us. It gives us hope. What a blessing that is. And it goes on to say here, verse number, I don't have time to get into all those, but I want to give you just one thought here. And they, verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, so Christ is getting back in the ship and he's heading back home. His work was done. His disciples seen a tremendous miracle. Remember, Christ is going to leave them. And they need to see the power that God can make in individuals' lives. All right, so he's leaving them. All right, he's getting in the boat, and he's going to leave this group of people. He's going to head back up. And I want you to notice this conversation. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be what? With him. That is the natural response of any man that's been changed as this man has been changed. You just want to be around Christ. I mean, your life was just turned upside down. You were naked. You were cutting yourself. You were in the tombs. You were a mess. You were hopeless. You were without any hope. Christ saved you. He changed you. And now the natural response is, hey, Lord, just let me be with you. I want to go with you. I don't know. I don't care where we're going to go or where I'm going to stay or the food or anything. Lord, I just want to go. Please, let me go with you. That's the natural response. And listen, if you're here and you're saved tonight, your response would be, Lord, allow me to be used of you. Lord, send me wherever you want me to send or wherever you want me to go. Lord, I want to be in your perfect will. I just want to be used of you, Lord. That's what this man wanted. But not everybody is called to go to a foreign land, across the ocean or across the sea in this case. In verse number 19, the Bible says, howbeit Jesus suffered him what? But saith unto him, what's the next word? Go. So we're all still called to go. Some of us go across the ocean, but we're all called to go. Now, I want you to pay attention to where he's supposed to go. Go, what's the next word? Home. And he's going to address a group of people here. And in the book of Luke, here it's friends. Go home to thy friends. In the book of Luke, it's go home to thy family. Now, how many of you here tonight have got family or friends that are lost? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody here. Family or friends. All right. Out of a response to our salvation, our response would be, Lord, man, just let me do something for you. Let me go with you. Lord, just use me. I want to be around you. I want you to be part of my life. All right, go. Where, Lord? Go home to thy family. Or go home to thy friends. Well, I'm not sure how much I know or how I'm going to address that thing. It doesn't really matter. This man didn't know anything other than he had been changed. This is the message that Jesus Christ told him to go home to and tell them. He told them, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. If you've got a testimony here tonight, how you got saved, what the circumstances were, you've got a message for your family and for your friends this season. You got a testimony? You remember when it happened? You don't have to have the whole Romans Road memorized. And in fact, if you're very serious about soul winning, which I think you ought to be, get a track. Go through those and memorize some of those verses in there. They're good. They're just a great little memory book right there. But let me tell you, if you have a hard time memorizing, just think back to the time that you were saved. And you tell them this, boy, the Lord has done some great things for me. And listen, He was compassionate on me. Why was He compassionate? Because you should have known me before I got saved. I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I didn't deserve God's grace, but He extended it out to me. And I heard the message of salvation, and I trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone to save me. And He reached out and He saved my soul, and He changed me. He made me a new person, and He took the wrath of God, and He took it away, and He brought me to Him. He reconciled me to the Father. And man, I'm a new creature in Christ. I didn't get religion. I got Jesus Christ. You've got something worth telling people here this next couple of weeks. Hurting people. I think sometimes we get so comfortable with our life and the fact that, hey, things are cool at home. Mama's happy, daddy's happy, the kids are somewhat happier. You know, we get comfortable. And yet if we just look right across the street, or we look right across the aisle, or we look across our desk at work, we would see somebody. Somebody that needs to hear just what Christ did in your life. But why doesn't it happen? Well, it's not because we don't have anything to say, because the Lord lays it out there what to say. I mean, it's pretty simple. This maniac didn't go to college. He didn't know anything other than what Christ did for him. That was all he knew. But I think this is what happens. Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2 and we'll read this and we'll be done. I think this is what happens, folks. We take the extraordinary. And that's how I would explain our salvation. It's extraordinary. You think about the whole plan of salvation, what it all entailed. It's amazing that Jesus Christ would come to this earth, become a man, and be mocked and ridiculed and go through all that He went through and make Himself an offering for our sins. And He drank of that bitter cup. Not because He didn't want to. When He said, "Not my will, but thine be done," He was not talking about going to the cross. He was talking about there. He was talking about God the Father's wrath being poured out upon Him. Couldn't imagine that, but that's exactly what happened. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in Him. What a blessing that was that Christ did that for you and I. But I think sometimes we forget about that. We take the extraordinary and we make it ordinary because we don't meditate upon it. We don't think about it. We think, oh, they've heard it before. Maybe they need to hear it again. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. We'll just start there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, what's the next word? Remember. Folks, this is all I'm trying to do tonight. If you get one thing, please get this. Remember your salvation. Remember how great it is. Remember what Christ did in order to bring it to you. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you are what? Without Christ. Do you remember that time? Do you remember that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having what? And that is the people that you're going to meet. Without Christ, without hope. That is the maniac of Gadara. Without Christ and without hope. Nobody wanted to deal with him. But Christ dealt with him. The most awful, the most hell-bound, the most ridiculously evil person that you could ever imagine. Christ dealt with him. And He dealt with you. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, remember this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, broken down that middle wall of partition between us. So there was a wall there between you and God. There was the wrath of God that was abiding upon you. There was enmity. There was war. And now there's peace. And the wall's been taken out. You've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Having abolished in His flesh, what a price that He paid. The enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so make him peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body. So not only did He save you, put you into the body of Christ. Tonight, I don't know any of you. Man, but I have brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight. What a blessing it is to see you here tonight, to have this in common. Having slain the enmity thereby, verse number 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Tonight, I just want to mention this, and that's this. This might be a very joyous occasion for you, celebrating Christmas next week. And it should be. Praise the Lord. We think about Christ leaving heaven and coming to this earth. And I'm thankful for that. But lest I get too comfortable, there are people around who this may not be a very joyous occasion. Or this might be one of the times that they try to make the best of what they have. And they're just going all in. And at the end, when the wrapping paper is discarded and the tree gets thrown away, and they head back to work in January, life is going to hit them right between the eyes once again. And they again realize that you can't buy happiness. The things of this world will perish. And they've invested so much into this life, they don't realize that without Christ there is no hope, there's no joy, there's no real happiness. But you know that. You've been saved. And Christ is changing. He's given you the most wonderful gift of all, and it was free. He gave Himself. Please remember over the next couple of weeks just what a great salvation that you have. Meditate upon it. Ponder it. Don't take the extraordinary and make it ordinary this Christmas season. Share it. Go home to thy family. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. All right, let's pray. Lord, we are tonight grateful as we are reminded of our salvation and what it cost you. Thank you for the difference it made in our life. Thank you for taking the penalty of hell away from us, Lord. I can't imagine spending one day in hell. And yet people are going to go off into it for all eternity. God, I pray that you would make the reality of hell real to us tonight. God, give us a compassion and a love for people. The same compassion and love that you had and that you share, you expressed to even this maniac of Gadara that we read about here tonight. Lord, help us not to categorize people according to what we think would be good prospects or not good prospects. Lord, help us just to be a light. Help us to go to everybody we know. Give us the courage. Give us the words to say. God, put in our heart to do those things that would please you. Lord, we are grateful for our salvation. I pray you'd help us express that by telling that to others. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity for my family and I to go to a place that knows very little about Jesus Christ or has a completely warped idea of who He is, and be able to share the great love that He expressed to them on the cross. Lord, I love you tonight. Just thank you for these folks and for them being here tonight. I pray you bless them in Jesus' name.